Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier still, and we've been talking to Sue from the Lilydale District Society, Historical Society, but now I've got with me Bronwyn Cole, and Brondon's with the agribusiness in the Yarra Valley, and we're talking all about the Queensland fruit fly. We've spoken to Bronwyn before, but it's time for a catch-up. How are you, Bronwyn?
I'm very well, thank you, Alan. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Good to see you. The first question I'm going to ask you, this year compared to other years, was there an increase in the Yarra Valley of fruit fly or a decrease?
My one-word answer is there's an increase.
Yep.
But it started later. The fruit season was about 4 weeks behind where it could have been or where it traditionally sat.
Yep.
So instead of seeing a fruit fly in January, when we normally have seen them for the past few years, we didn't see our first fruit fly until February. So a lot of people got relaxed.
Why was that, Bronwyn?
The La Nina and the weather patterns over southern Victoria has meant that the whole fruit season's been late this year.
Right.
So we had a cold spring. We had not a lot of heat during the summer. But then everything caught up with where it was meant to be.
So
in February.
With it starting later, did it go later or was it shorter?
It has. The fruit season has gone a little bit later, but I think the cold weather is on time. So it's just a matter of getting rid of the fruit now and picking it and making sure people can eat it and it's the best quality it's going to get at.
And one of the issues I'm asking you is that people shouldn't leave fruit on the tree any longer than it needs to be, should they?
Nope. The fruit fly life cycle relies on the larvae in the fruit coming out and going into the ground.
Right.
And then in the ground it pupates, so it gets a little cocoon around itself, and this is where it changes from a larvae to a fly. That happens in the ground or in a crack in some timber, or not in the fruit.
Yep.
So if we all practice picking our fruit at that harvest time,
yep,
we can actually interrupt that life cycle of the fruit fly and stop it in its tracks, and we don't have to use any chemistry or anything else other than picking it before it falls.
Right.
So I do encourage, harvesting on time.
Harvesting on time. And the longer you leave it, the bigger the opportunity, obviously, for the fruit fly to do what it does, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a few days between when it's injected into the fruit by the Queensland fruit fly female.
Yep.
And it takes, 7 to 10 days maximum for that larvae to be mature enough before it's ready to change.
Right.
Through that pupa phase and then as to an adult. So if you've got those few days where you've gone and picked it and it doesn't reach the ground, you've effectively stopped it in its tracks.
So I was just going to ask you that. So even if it's been injected by the queen...
By the Queensland fruit fly.
Yeah, because Queensland fruit
female,
fly.
All the females can lay the eggs.
Right. But even if it has been injected, as long as you pick it, it still doesn't become a fruit fly, does it?
If you've picked that fruit and then you process that fruit by eating it, you probably end up eating the fruit fly eggs and you wouldn't know it.
I was going to say, but that's not going to hurt you either, is it?
Well, no one's told me that it has. My grandpa always used to tell me, what's worse than finding a fruit fly or a worm in your fruit?
Yeah, find half a one.
Finding half a one. So hopefully you get it before then.
Yep.
But you can rescue that piece of fruit. You can cut that infested piece out if you see it.
Yep.
And you can dispose of that properly, which is by freezing or boiling it to kill it.
Yep.
And you can consume the rest of that piece of fruit. So you have the choice.
And you probably can still eat it and without a problem, really, if you didn't know.
Once it's advanced, you'd struggle to eat it. Just the vision of it would be bleh.
Bronwyn, I've just got to ask you this. This is still on the same subject, but I can remember when I was a kid, so I'm going back a long while here, that there were fruit fly inspectors up on the Murray River.
Yep.
And up until about 20 years ago, there used to be fruit fly inspectors between Bensdale and Lakes Entrance, because I used to go down there for work. It used to amuse me. I'd go from Bensdale to Lakes Entrance. I'd be there for an hour and a half, and when I came back, I either had to eat a bit of fruit, which had only been there for an hour and a half, or throw it in the bin. We don't seem to have that, do we?
No. Queensland fruit fly is now considered established in the state of Victoria. So we no longer have protection from where the fruit is incoming from.
Right.
So all the border patrols up on the Murray River.
Yeah.
They went in 2013.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure the border protection from the known colony of fruit fly over in that Bairnsdale area,
yeah,
on that coast, I'm pretty sure those border patrols were defunct a long time ago as well.
Probably 20 years. It's probably only 18 years ago, because maybe 20, because I was still going down there at 18, the so side of the road.
Essentially, when the state government puts up a border patrol, it's because they can justify spending that cost protecting what's left.
Yeah.
But we don't have that justification anymore to spend on that border patrol, because there's sometimes just as many fruit fly on the other side of that border. So that's where it's had to stop, and we've had to switch to a management phase now.
All right, so let's just very briefly talk about the one down at Lakes Entrance, or it was between Bairnsdale Lakes Entrance. So that means there was fruit fly in Victoria, didn't it? Because otherwise it would have been on the border.
It was an exception to the rule. So there was fruit fly in Queensland, Queensland fruit fly in New South Wales, and there was a known population of Queensland fruit fly on that eastern coast of Victoria. Very small population, and it never moved west into the rest of Victoria, because it's quite a maritime tropical insect. Yeah. So it would prefer those warm, humid locations.
Yeah.
And what's happened is that gradually over time, fruit fly has come over the Murray River.
Yeah.
And into the northern Victorian fruit-growing areas.
Yeah.
And it's progressed further south as our climate has changed, as there's been more irrigated horticulture, there's more people transporting fruit around, there's less chemical controls. Yeah. So there's more reasons that fruit fly can establish further south. And then we started finding fruit fly in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And so the Victorian government looked at it very strategically and said, right, well, we need to actually deal with this as a pest.
Right.
We can't stop it coming in anymore.
It's already here.
So what are we going to do now to reduce the impact, particularly to the Yarra Valley, who doesn't have fruit fly?
Yep.
So that's when in 2015, 16 and 17, we had lots of trapping and surveillance around, and we said, right, there's no fruit fly here. We can prove it.
Right.
So we had a fantastic mechanism to trade all of our wonderful soft fruits out of the Yarra Valley over to places like South Australia, Western Australia and Tasmania, and we could prove that our fruit did not have fruit fly in it.
Right.
In 2018, we found fruit fly in the Yarra Valley, and that undid that whole trade program, because now that we have fruit fly, we can't argue that we're fruit fly free. So we've spent the last couple of years working out what we have to do as a community, as a region, as an area, as a business, as an individual. What do we have to do to reduce the impact of Queensland fruit fly?
All right. I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
I've held it all inward. Lord knows I've tried. It's an awful awakening in a country boy's life. To look in the mirror in total surprise at the hair on your shoulders and the age in your eyes. Amanda, light of my life, fate should have made you a gentleman's wife. Gentleman's wife. Well, I measure people don't understand the pleasure still. a gentleman's wife.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and I'm talking to Bronwyn from the Queensland Fruit Fly Organisation, and we're talking all about fruit fly in the Yarra Valley. So in that last break, as we're about to take that break, you did say we've got to do, and people have got to try and do things to do it. So what can we as an individuals do?
I think the most important thing we can do is make observations of the land that we manage. I think we need to stop bringing fruit fly in.
Yep.
So we need to be careful where we're buying our fruit from.
Yep.
Or collecting it from or accepting it from.
Yep.
And then knowing what to do. So, for example, I had some mangoes that I purchased this year myself.
Yep.
And I bought them from a lady who bought some mangoes from someone who else was buying some mangoes from someone who was getting a pallet of mangoes in as a fundraiser.
Oh, right.
So I was the lucky recipient of some mangoes with some larvae in it, and luckily enough we had that contact tree to let everyone know, Bronwyn's found Queensland fruit fly, this is what it looks like and this is what you need to do if you find it. So I had to be careful that what I purchased and what I brought to my home didn't get out to my backyard and into my production area.
Yep.
So the first thing I did was put all that mango on the stove. I kept the good bits, put them in the freezer, make mango sorbet later on, but I boiled up the infested fruit that I'd received.
And to kill it.
Yep, to kill it. If I didn't have a pot, I could have put it in the microwave and zapped it until it makes a noise like bacon in the microwave.
Yeah.
And alternatively, I could have put that in a snap-lock bag and put it in the freezer. So you have to boil it or freeze it if you've brought it into your property.
Right. So we just need to emphasise that, because say a person, we'll say they got apples and it had in. I mean, I would have thought that people might have done, and we'd better reinforce this, because I would have thought they'd have cut the old rubbish out of it. They'd have, say, stewed the rest of the animal, the rest of the apple or whatever it might be, to kill it. But it's more important to actually boil the bit that's infected, isn't it?
Yes. So you've got to either consume or cook what you don't eat. So it might be eggs that you can't see. So unless you've eaten it, cook it or boil it, freeze it, microwave it. But you have to treat what you don't eat.
Yeah, don't just throw it away.
Yeah. And the number one message is, do not put anything that you're suspect of into the compost bin. Because remember how I talked about that life cycle before?
Yeah.
And how that egg or that larvae matures to a point where it needs to then pupate in the ground?
Right.
That is, those conditions are exactly what's in your compost bin. So you need to make sure you're not putting anything that's suspect into the compost bin, so that we prevent this life cycle continuing. So that's why we treat it by cooking it or freezing it. Another method is you can double plastic bag it and put it in the rubbish bin. It's a lot of plastic, though.
Yeah.
So treating it first is fantastic.
And you really don't want the plastic in the going to landfill anyway, do you?
So treating it first gives you a bit of a buffer zone. You know that it's dead. You know that it's not going to do any more damage, and it's not going to get into your garden.
Yeah.
So I think the other aspect, so that's if you receive it.
Yep.
The other aspect is that you have to design your garden now in a way that's going to be able to manage fruit fly if and when numbers get built up to a point where it's going to come to your place.
Just before we go down on that, because I really want to cover that, what Well, say, and I'm not having a go at anyone here, I just want to know if there are any restrictions. Say Joe Bloggs owns a fruit shop in the Yarra Valley and he goes down to the fruit market and he buys fruit. Is there any way that that's checked before it winds up in his shop?
Yeah, it's checked at the distribution centres and it's checked at the Melbourne market. So if there's issue in that commercial line, there are mechanisms to chase. For example, if you did get something from your fruit shop, your first thing you do is you take your product back to that fruit shop.
Yep.
That fruit shop's most likely going to contact their supplier and they're going to work out and problem solve to fix that. And that's assuming that it's got past the checks and balances that are in those commercial situations anyway.
Yep.
Most fruit fly moves in that uneducated, unaware space where I've gone up to Shepparton to visit Auntie whatever and I've brought back a bag of my favourite white nectarines. And I've carried it here. It's like, okay, now what? So it's in that unchecked place.
All right. So I did interrupt you, which I didn't want to do, but I just wanted to, for people, for the audience and myself, to know that what you're getting from the fruit shop is probably going to be 99% fruit fly free. We can't say 100%.
I encourage anyone that's got anything suspicious or anything wrong with their fruit to take it back to that place of purchase. Because that activates the next chain of events where you fix the quality control.
Right. All right. So now I'm Joe Bloggs. I've got big backyard and I've got apples or nectarines or whatever I want.
Oh, have you got one of those fruit salad farms?
Well, I don't know. I don't. But I'm throwing this as a hypothetical. So what have I got to do to make sure? Well, no, we won't make it into a farm. Well, it's only because we're talking to Mr. and Mrs. Average here. So,
but in the Yarra Valley, Mr. and Mrs. Average do have one of this, one of that.
True.
And they aim to get their backyard set up to have a piece of fresh fruit most of the year. And in the Yarra Valley, we have the ability to do that.
Right. So what have I got to do to make sure that I'm not going to get the fruit fly?
So you have to be aware that your fruit fly is there or not. So the first thing you can do is put some fruit fly traps up and check them regularly.
So what are they?
So fruit fly traps, you can go and buy them online from your hardware store, from any of their local agricultural supply stores.
Right.
And they're a small plastic contraption, a bit like a bucket with a lid.
Yep.
And they've got an attractant inside. And you can use any brand. I can't be brand specific. No. But if you have a fruit fly trap around most of the places on your farm or your property, backyard where you produce fruit, and you check that regularly, you'll have first-hand information if there's a problem or not.
Because what happens? The fruit fly go in there, do they?
The fruit fly are attracted to the trap.
Yep.
And if you time it right and if you have them there all year or at least from September through to May, through that growing season, hopefully you'll get it before it gets your fruit. So then you'll be in a position to start your next lot of action.
Right. All right. So I'm Joe Bloggs and I've put down the trap and all of a sudden I find some fruit fly.
So this is where you ring me.
Yeah.
And I can talk you through
and
it.
And we're going to give it your phone number before 2 o'clock. Yep.
Well, what now we're talking about it. 0490.
Hang on.
Everyone's got a pen at home.
No, they won't, but we'll make sure we give it again.
0490
381
999. Or email me a picture at my email address, which is QFF, so that's short for Queensland Fruit Fly.
Yeah.
At agribusiness.
AGRI business.
Yep. -yarravalley.com.
All right. So I contact you and I say, Bronwyn, I think I've got fruit fly.
So now we go and investigate further. So you can do this with me or without me.
Yep.
We go and have a look at the fruit that's ripening.
Yeah.
And we see if there's any damage to the fruit. So let's assume that there's no damage to the fruit yet that we can see.
Yeah.
I would then, from my side of things, I would then alert everyone in your region that we've found fruit fly. So you're Joe Bloggs, you live in Woorialik.
Yep.
So I would have a social media campaign and some advice going out to some of the nurseries and agronomists and agricultural resellers and the fruit industry that there is fruit fly has been detected in Woorialik.
Yep.
And I would expect all the people in Woorialik to go out and have a look at their gardens and see if we can get further evidence other than just your backyard.
Yep.
The council will also send out a letter asking you to have a look at your fruit and to start putting some fruit fly traps up, because we're asking for your help to work out how far this problem is,
right,
whether it's spreading or whether it's just in your backyard.
Yep.
And so from there, assuming that we haven't found any more, we'll put in some extra traps to do extra surveillance.
Uh-huh.
And then I would also encourage you to apply Queensland fruit fly bait, which is a sticky substance that looks a bit like molasses mixed with Vegemite.
Right.
And it's got a natural insecticide in it. So I would ask you to put that out on your property. And we would
on the ground or...?
On the leaves of the trees.
Oh, yep, yep.
This is where the fruit fly would normally be. Remember, yep, they're a rainforest insect, so they, yep, would normally feed off protein off the microbes that live off the leaf.
Yep.
So that's one strategy, is to use the extra, the baiting program. And we would also encourage others in the area to also bait, because we have to have an area-wide approach. Because,
yep,
just you treating it in your backyard is probably not going to work.
Well, that's the other question I was going to ask you. If you found it in my backyard, and I've got half a dozen trees, how far would you expect that could go? Like, is it going to go 4 houses, or is it going to go 0.5 kilometre or 1 kilometre, would you think?
Research says that it can go several kilometres.
Does it?
It can be wind-assisted. It can be picked up and transported by humans. But most cases, it will go to the next available best option. So your apricots might have finished by Christmas. It's going to then try and move into your plums.
So it's going to stay on my property until you've done something about it?
Most likely, or your neighbour's property. So that's why we target your neighbours when we speak to you about it. We'll let, yep, them know that there's fruit fly around, and we need them to do more to support your actions as well.
Yeah, because it could already be there, or if not, you want to make sure it doesn't get there?
Well, it could have come from your neighbour. It could have come from their neighbour.
Oh, yeah.
It could have come from the blackberries that are down on the bottom of some paddock or along some walking trail. So we don't always know where it comes from. Just because something shows up in a trap on your place,
right,
doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing, and it doesn't mean that you've got infested fruit. It means that
I could have perfect fruit, but I've just got fruit flies being attracted to the trap.
It could have come from somewhere else that you don't know of, because you're not aware that two doors up, the other resident that lives up there has potentially brought the problem into your area. But because you don't live in her backyard,
yep,
you can't see what she's doing until the fruit fly that's emerged from her property has come two doors down to your property. So that's why we have over 150 traps in the Yarra Valley, to keep an eye on this.
Where it's going. Rodman, I've got to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more.
Together, and I'm staying right here forever. Oh, girl, you're
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Bronwyn from the Queensland Fruit Fly Organisation, agribusiness, I think they call it, not angry, agribusiness. Bronwyn, all right, so you talked about putting these baits down to try and catch what's going on. What happens if they don't seem to work? You look at your fruit and you think, that looks a bit damaged, but you've put the bait down and you don't get a thing.
Well, I'm still going with the theory that the fruit fly hasn't got to your fruit yet because we've been aware of it early. We're right. Talking a hypothetical here.
Yeah.
I think the next most important thing is to put fruit fly netting over the fruit that's ripening in your backyard.
Right.
So fruit fly netting's a 2mm by 2mm aperture. It's not the 5mm one that we have that's wildlife safe, and it's not the 10mm bird netting.
No, this is really...
It's 2mm. It's like your insect mesh on your windows.
Yep.
Because the insect itself is only 7mm long and about probably gets down to 2 or 3mm wide. Well, 3mm wide. It can't get through a 2mm aperture.
Can't get through the 2mm. Yep.
So we've got to be able to net your fruit tree. Now, it's really, really hard to net a 40-foot apricot tree.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Yep.
So my main message today is about making your garden nettable. And it's going to have so many other advantages for you in
so
the future.
How do you make it netable?
Well, you've got to make it small, because the smaller the tree, the smaller the net that you've got to put over it.
So you're saying that prune the trees and keep them down? Is that...
Yep. You can espalier them so that they branches go out sideways. And the bonus about espaliering trees is that you get more fruit from less wood or more fruit from less height.
Yeah.
And it's much, much easier to pick because you don't need a ladder. And you don't need to three ladders and 10 people to put a giant net over it.
So how do you make it do that? You keep lobbing the top off, but will that automatically, I don't know the word that you're using, but does that automatically make the branches go out, or do you have to do something to
the
branches?
No, when you make a winter cut, so if you were to go and prune your trees, your fruit trees now,
yep.
They're probably going to throw out a really strong branch next spring.
Right.
So the idea is to grab that branch as it's bendable and young,
yep.
And then train it sideways or train it out on the angle. So you can put a frame up and clip it to the frame,
yep.
Or you can hang weights off it so that it doesn't grow up.
Oh, yeah.
But any branches growing up into the top bright blue sky, they're not going to produce much fruit. Their number one role is to give leaf and energy to the plant. But the branches on the sides, they're the ones that concentrate on fruit production.
So you're going to get better production.
Yes. Better production. You're going to get more fruit,
yep.
And you're going to have it reachable.
Yep.
And you can control it. Like, for example, if it's starting to get black spot or something, you can easily put a fungicide on it to stop the black spot.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, if fruit fly is a problem in your region or if it's becoming a problem in your region, you're in a better position to have a net
over the top.
Canopied over the top of what you grow in your garden. Yep.
All right, so... How do I know if I walk out every day and I'm a bit of a mug gardener, how do I know or what should I be looking for?
If you want to find out if there's fruit fly in the fruit, because you've checked your trap every week, haven't you?
Yes, yeah.
And all of the people at your gym club, they're checking their fruit fly traps, aren't they?
Yeah, we hope
and,
they are.
And you're following their social feeds on Facebook and radio and whatever else, whatever, and the letters in your letterbox to know if there's fruit fly around, or there might even be some news in the newspaper. Oh. So all your social cues, finding out if there's a problem, and all of your grapevines that you know about.
Yep.
So the sting mark on a fruit of where she injects her eggs, you can hardly see.
Right.
It's needle-like. She's so tiny. The eggs are only really 1mm big. But what happens is that that wound can get a bit soft and start to rot.
Right.
So that's
and
what you can look for.
Brownish or?
It's all happening underneath the skin and it's all still so tiny.
Oh,
so
right.
Most people don't see it. Another clue to look for example, a green plum that's meant to turn purple to be ripe will start turning purple around the side that's been targeted by the fruit fly.
Well,
because it's starting to have damaged cells.
Yep.
And that damage promotes that ripening, all those ripening gases.
Yep.
So that's why it's going to look, oh, that's strange. Why has that got a big red patch on it that's doesn't quite look right?
Yeah.
So that's when we encourage people to cut the fruit open and look for that eggs damage or the rot that's occurring inside the flesh.
All right, so we'll say I've got, well, no, it doesn't matter. I was going to say an apple tree, but if it's in one, is it likely to be in a whole lot? Or what I'm getting at, do you need to check every bit of fruit?
It's hard to tell. We don't know the spread yet. The pressure that we have in the Yarra Valley is so low that it could target something multiple times, or it could target one piece of fruit and you've caught it early. It all depends on that level of pressure that's around. If it's one Queensland fruit fly that's pregnant, that's coming here from somewhere, it might just target a couple of fruit on that tree and the rest of it might be okay.
Yeah.
But if there's 100 fruit fly around and they're all pregnant, well, they're all going to target an individual
bit of fruit.
So we've got to get this early before it becomes a problem of a size that we can't control.
So you would prefer people to ring you when they think rather than have ring up and say, listen, I've got 100 bits of fruit and they're all starting to go rotten.
I would love for you to tell me, I think this is a fruit fly, and I go, that's okay. That's not a fruit fly.
So you would go out on most cases?
I do. Sometimes people send me photos and I can very quickly say, no, that's something else. That's a native pollinator. That's a wasp. That's something else. And I can usually quickly problem solve, or we can say, there was a lady from Warburton direction said, I think I've got some maggots in my lemons.
Yeah.
So I arranged for something to be picked up. I had it tested and I was able to say it's island fly, which is another pest for citrus that is really one that comes to the after party. It really only gets into fruit that's already decaying. Whereas Queensland fruit fly will target ripening fruit on the tree still.
I
was able to quickly eliminate that one.
Terrific. All right, I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Diamond ring.
talking to Bronwyn from Agri-Business, the Yarra Valley, and we're talking about the Queensland fruit fly in the Yarra Valley. Bronwyn, so I guess the first thing we're trying to get across today, if people have got any questions, first of all, they ring you, and as a fallback, they get you out to have a look at their property.
Yeah, we can look at a property and look at the risks.
Yep.
They can look at where you could make improvements on your fruit fly management or your fruit fly protectiveness, if that's a word.
Yep.
And we can also look at your region, and I can discuss with you some of the risks in your region so that you're prepared and that you don't get fruit fly.
So it's the point I'm trying to get at, you'd rather hear from them sooner than later.
Oh, for sure. A small problem is much, much easier to fix.
Yep. We were just talking off air a little bit. So who is most at risk? The commercial operator who has these huge big farms, but I thought they would have also been a bit more tuned into it rather than the amateur who just says, oh, well, you know, I'll have a look now and again and that's about it.
I guess is the question about the risk that fruit fly is to us or who's at risk? So the fruit grower, I think, probably has the most to lose, the commercial fruit grower, whatever size, whatever their income is from that.
Yep.
But I think the greatest risk of getting fruit fly is actually in a backyard where someone is not looking after the trees and they're not aware of what's going on.
Do you? Let's just talk about the commercial operators, and we don't here to name or shame or anything like that. Do you find that they are all very well aware of the risks and therefore make sure that these things don't happen, as opposed to Joe Blow who's got a few in his backyard and just looks now and again?
Yeah, there's a lot of commercial fruit growers in the Yarra Valley that have got their own fruit fly trapping surveillance in addition to what I do through the program. And they're obviously doing their fruit checks as well, because the worst thing that can happen is a customer gets a bit of your fruit with a maggot in it.
It's not going to go well, is it?
No, it's not a good marketing campaign. So they're very conscious, very aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Where I think as a community, as a whole, so you, me, the commercial guys, or everyone that even lives in the Yarra Valley, we need to be better with the fruit that's not harvested.
Yep.
And we need to be better with what happens to that fruit once it's collected. So that waste fruit, we need to treat that first in case it does have fruit fly.
So what would you say to the person, Joe Bloggs, who's got a property at the back of Worry Alec, we'll say, who just leaves the fruit there and just doesn't care?
Oh, the birds get it, the inverted commas.
Yep.
It's not good enough. The birds only get the top half. The Queensland fruit fly could equally be progressing in the bottom half. So you either take that tree out and take it out of the system so that you don't have to manage it, or you have to show some responsibility and manage it, which means putting your baits out, putting your traps out and netting it and harvesting it before it falls. We have to stop this cycle of unmanaged fruit being hosted or able to host Queensland fruit fly in the Yarra Valley. Blackberries are number one.
So in the wild blackberries, just as much? So,
yeah.
I mean, is there any work done with people who have owned a property, like don't live on it and they just let the weeds grow on it for years and they go
they're
and cut?
They're a problem. They're hard to work with because they're not there to talk to.
Yep.
They're not there to convince that something needs to be done. But that's where we work with the council and Agriculture Victoria in some cases. But that's the least preferred option. I'd much rather have a conversation with them over the fence.
Because I was up in, this is years ago, up in the Mount Dandenongs, and I know some property there that had been overgrown, had blackberries and all sorts of stuff growing. So there's a potential for it to get in there, isn't it?
There is a potential for it to thrive in the Yarra Valley when blackberries are in their fruiting time of their year.
Yep.
We have seen where there has been fruit fly detected in the Yarra Valley so far. So I think we're up to 34 detections for this summer in the Yarra Valley, which is more than 23 last year.
Yep.
But wherever we are, we're not that far from ripening blackberries.
All right, we've just got to take a quick break and we'll come back with more.
I saw him like a machine. I knew he must have been about 17. Big and strong, playing my favorite song. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me. Yeah, me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long that he was with me. Yeah, me. His name. That don't matter, he said, 'cause it's all the same. So can I take you home where we can be alone? Next we're moving on, he was with me, yeah, me. Next we're moving on, he was with me.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're still talking to Bronwyn. Bronwyn, all right, so we've got the commercial operators who are doing the right thing. We've got most of the amateurs, but there'll be a few that won't because that's what people are like. What about when you're going down the major highways and there are just blackberries growing wild? Can that attract them? And yeah. what happens
so
there?
Fruit fly could move from district to district,
yep,
along roadsides that have got blackberries or self-sown plum trees and apple trees. So it is up to the land manager to control that. It might be local council. It might be Vic Roads. It might be a community group that wants to take some action in that
but
space.
But nobody does own that, do they?
Well, how do we get more funds to do that?
Yeah. No, that's fair enough too.
So I think from a property side of things, your property that bounds up to that fence,
yep,
you can work on blackberry reduction up to the fence. And quite often a lot of the problem trees, for example, plum trees, are right on that fence line because the birds sit there and poop out the plum seed and that's where it grows. So you can stop it there.
Yep.
And then I think you have blackberry task force. Have you ever heard of a Victorian Blackberry Task Force?
No.
I'm working with one in King Lake, and I've also been working with one in Sylvan. They attract funding and planning to help reduce blackberries in certain spots because we just, as a society, we don't have enough money to deal with blackberry.
Yeah, right.
So we've got to concentrate on areas where it has high value and high impact.
Yep.
And people can work with the Victorian Blackberry Task Force to create a working area. And then as they gradually remove those blackberries, it's really important to replace it with good vegetation so that blackberries don't grow back. And you start with a small area and work out from that. Right. So there are some solutions.
And I guess the other thing too, though, the major solution is that if we can't do anything about that ourselves, is to look after our own backyard, isn't it?
You look after your own backyard, you've got a much stronger case of asking for help with those public land areas outside.
Yep.
So there are people that have done a bit. We have had some funding as part of this program where we've targeted some self-sown weed species like plums and apples.
Yep.
We've prioritised where our funds can remove that. So that's near fruit fly detection areas, near high-value horticulture areas.
Yep.
And we've done that in partnership with the Yarra Rangers Council. So we've targeted it. It's ongoing work.
Yep.
But I don't think we'll ever get the funds to remove everything.
Yeah.
But we've got to do what we can, where we can, and reduce the threat.
Better do something than nothing. Bronwyn, unfortunately, the time is just about gone. If you just give us your contact details again, please.
Sure. So people can text me photos of insects or fruit on 0490 381 999, or people can send me photos via email.
Yep.
Or questions, and that's qff@agribusiness-yarravalley.com, or you can also have a look at my webpage, which is fruitflyfreeyv.com.au.
Sounds pretty good. Unfortunately, I'm going to go, Bronwyn. The news and weather's coming up.
Sure.
Thank you very much for coming in, and we'll look forward to talking to you again later in the year.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Bronwyn.